Are you training to look sexy, or are you training to move well? And is there a difference, or is one better than the other? We talk about this as well as animal flow, stick mobility, neurokinetic therapy, and a lot more with my good friend Andy of Movement Reborn, who is a prehab, rehab, and movement specialist down in San Diego. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Enjoy.
Running the facility and hired my new trainer, so training him, onboarding everything. So exciting times, man.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're trying to expand a little bit?
Always.
Yeah. Awesome. That's what's up, man. So just for everyone that doesn't know, Andy and I met at a fitness business conference last year. And we met through our friend, our good friend, David Ritchie. So shout out to him out in San Antonio. Check him out if you're out there. And we stayed at this janky motel. You know, I thought my car was going to get broken into.
Oh, but I forgot about that. That was so fun.
The conference was great, though. You know, we had a great time. And, you know, Andy and I share a lot of, you know, similar philosophies when it comes to training and movement, which we'll get into later. But you know, you're from South Africa, you own a small gym in San Diego, Movement Reborn. You know, tell us, like, how did that come about? Like, what's your specialty? How did your journey start? You know, where, how did you get to where you are right now?
Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, like you mentioned, I'm from South Africa, born and raised. Moved to the U.S. about 6 years ago now. And one of the reasons that led me to fitness was, honestly, just like normal meatheads, just trying to get bigger.
Get size. Get swole.
Sorry?
Get swole.
Yeah, totally. Graduated high school at 112 pounds. So I was really, really scrawny kid. And then started lifting weights and stuff just to gain more confidence, and things got really good. But then ended up going to the opposite end of the realm where it got so big that I started getting injured consistently. Even if my form's correct, I've had multiple trainers like train me, and I've been working with so many pros from all over the world, and no matter what, they just couldn't figure out what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. And then that's one of the reasons that sparked me into getting into the rehab realm and finding out what is actually causing us to constantly get injured or be in pain for so often, even if there's nothing structurally wrong with our bodies. And so over time, like, my curiosity just kept building and building, and every workshop that I started attending, from, you know, from neurokinetic therapy to movement stuff to kettlebells to Olympic lifting to animal flows, original strength, all of these workshops are amazing. But over time, you start seeing that, hey, when I apply a lot of these things, it doesn't always work. And even if it works like 50-60% of the time, I'm looking for that extra 40%. That's like, what is truly going on in these things? And you start realizing certain things start overlapping. So you can utilize little pieces from this one workshop and another piece from this workshop in order to get to the big picture and truly find what the root cause actually is. And that's why we keep attending more workshops, just to figure out, hey, what is that extra 20-30% that's missing for this specific client? And that's what I started realizing, is that all of these systems are amazing. It's just we're lacking in certain things from each system. Like, none of it's perfect. And that's when I started thinking, oh my God, like, I need to create my own facility and introduce all of these things that we're utilizing all of it. It doesn't mean we're the best at every single one. It's just, hey, we take fundamentals from all of it because they're all amazing, and we're bridging that gap. So over time, it becomes a more holistic approach to movement. And that's, yeah. So I started thinking about all of this stuff when I was still a trainer up in the Bay Area at Equinox. And over time, I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to do something different. And then one of my clients just mentioned San Diego was great. So, 6 months later, I moved down here. And I was like, you know what? It is pretty great. And then it kind of happened.
That's awesome, man. You know, you've had kind of the best of both worlds, Bay Area and San Diego. You know, it's like the cream of the crop of California. So,
all around, and I just never found a place that I felt like I fitted in. And then when I came to San Diego, I'm like, you know what, right now at this point in time, San Diego just makes sense. So yeah, I freaking love it over here now.
That's awesome. So Movement Reborn, what does that mean? Like, how'd you come up with that name? Like, for me, it took me a long time to figure out, like, what my brand name's gonna be, you know. How did you come up with that? Like, what does that mean?
Movement Reborn, well, I always feel like everything comes back to embryology. So there's nothing you can go back further than beyond that. So Dr. Perry Nicholson mentioned that. I was like, yo, that's actually pretty true. So, and I realized that half the systems that I use all groundwork. So we're starting from the ground, like original strength. Tim Anderson basically just watched his baby grow and was like, oh, interesting. Why are they crawling this way? Like, they have a perfectly neutral spine. When they're squatting, their back is completely straight. And so he developed his entire system based on that. And it's called the pressing reset protocol. And you're just rolling on the ground, you're rocking, you're moving. And that's the pillars of actually how we started to move. So I'm like, get back to the roots. And that's how the reborn word came out. And movement, obviously, like, I'm a movement enthusiast. So combining the two, I was like, you know what? That kind of just makes sense. I had a list of over probably 100 different names that I was like trying to play around with. And then this is the one that wasn't taken. So I was like, you know what? Let's stick with it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just got to cross them out, just pick the best one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you talked about a lot of different, systems, different methodologies, animal flow, KT. Yeah. Like, it, I feel like, you know, along our journeys, at least for me, you know, we come across a lot of these and then we learn and something like catches our eye and we kind of become infatuated with it. Mm-hmm. For you, was it hard to break free from just being, you know, just sticking with one? Like, I think a lot of people, you know, they go with powerlifting and they stick with that, or they go with bodybuilding and they stick with that, or kettle, like whatever it is, you know, they kind of get really, did that happen to you at all? Like, how did you overcome that?
It was interesting is that my personality, I've always been able to be super curious. So I was like more open-minded than most, I'd say. So every time I take another workshop, I'm like, oh, this is great. And back then when I'm taking workshops is looking for that one that I can utilize forever. You know, like, that's where powerlifters come in. They're like, oh no, all I have to do is these three movements and I can get big, I can get strong, I can compete. Then they don't really think about that much else. Whereas for me, I'm like, okay, cool. I got big, I got strong, but now I'm injured. And the injured part is a difference that made me keep looking for all the other systems, because most of these systems are functional. They're trying to help with either increasing mobility in order to help reduce pain, or just teaching you better movements so that you don't get injured. So the fundamentals apply, you know, like, as a trainer, we think that we're just getting big, but we're like, no, we have to counteract injuries and implement this into our lifestyle as well, right? So that's that second part for lifelong journeys, for like a full-on holistic approach so that you can do from now to the day you die. That has been my mission. So, and I know that when we compete and we're doing powerlifting or bodybuilding, there's a very, very short window that you can do that, you know, 10, 20 years max. But the more you push your body at that ultimate level, the chances of your body being able to hold that is, you know, going to dissipate as we age. So that wasn't never my mission. I learned that very quickly, like 3 years in my bodybuilding career. I was like, yeah, like, this is just not for me. So I started choosing a different route. And so to answer your question is, I've never really had that thirsty when you stick with one, because I'm like, nothing is complete. And for me, it's dabbling around with all of these things and seeing what actually fits into what I truly want to do. And I feel like it's because I dabbled so much that made me realize, hey, this is actually the route that I want to go to, instead of not only being, you know, part of a certain culture or community that you don't deviate from. It's like I tapped into all of these different communities and I was like, you know what? Movement is my favorite one right now. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that last part you touched on, community, I think that there's a culture, I think a lot of times that, you know, kind of makes people be a little bit, I don't want to say closed-minded, but, you know, kind of to stick with one. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to, you know, take anything away from powerlifting. Like, that was big for me, getting into strength. Like, if you want to become strong, do powerlifting, right? Yeah,
sure.
But yeah, and along the way, like you know, I started getting injured, and you know, I was never like an elite powerlifter by any means. You know, I mean, I got decently strong, but you know, I think even, you know, the more accomplished powerlifters, and again, this could go for any sport. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if they branched out a little bit and, you know, kind of drew from other things, they would kind of mitigate those injuries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially with, you know, nowadays, for me, it's not as much of like, you know, I've always been into performance. Like, that's why I got into powerlifting. I want to become stronger.
Totally.
So I could become a better athlete. And then I got into Olympic lifting. Like, oh, I need to, you know, do the clean and jerk so I could become more explosive.
Yeah.
And plyometrics, you know, I went through a phase. Like, all right, I need to do all these different plyometrics.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's more of like, okay, how can I move more efficiently? You know, and I think that's kind of bridging the gap between health and longevity and performance. And I think, you know, that's kind of where Eclectic Athlete came in. That's my brand, where it is more of a holistic approach. You know, it's not only, all right, how fast can I run? It's all right, well, does it hurt when you run? Like, is your, you know, your hip internally rotated, and is your arch collapse or whatever it may be, you know? So was there a point where like what influences made you go a little bit more into, or have there been like specific people that influenced you and kind of like, you know, opened your eyes to these different like movement styles?
Yeah, I guess like I started with bodybuilding. That's all I knew. That's pretty much most of us knew back then, you know, like, and I wanted to do that. But I was always very intrigued in martial arts and stuff since I was a kid. I trained from like when I was 8 until 13 years old. And I was really good at it. You know, that's where my foundations of movement actually started coming from. And my eyes developed slightly differently than other people. So I literally just look at a movement like, huh, is that actually good or is that bad? Or, you know what, I can see the good and the bad parts of that. You know, so I started putting all of this stuff together. And I definitely think Bruce Lee was like one of my main idols when I was a kid. He still is now. And so he sparked a lot of this stuff. So when I got sidetracked through the bodybuilding, I won't say sidetracked, it's just when I was in that realm, I started seeing like my movements and my range of motion started decreasing. So when I looked at the calisthenic stuff, like I've always wanted to do one-arm pull-ups and one-arm push-ups and all of these things, and I was never able to do them. And I kept figuring, I kept wondering why. And then like Frank Madero or something, like he's a great calisthenics guy, following him, Hannibal for King type of stuff. Back then it was just like, oh yeah, be shredded, but also do kick-ass stuff at the same time. And then the more I got injured and, you know, the bigger I got, the more I started seeing that, hey, we probably don't have to hold on to this much size, but we can still be lean, look good, but feel good at the same time. So yeah, it was those three that sparked everything. And then when I got into more Animal Flow stuff, obviously Mike Fitch, watching him move, and I was like, oh sweet lord, this guy is amazing. So I started doing the Animal Flow stuff and combining that with the martial arts background that I had. And the more I started doing these two, along with like just very, very basic original strength resets to tone down the nervous system, get everything moving the way it should, like I started feeling so good. So I'd say these four people, you know, like all the ones that really, really sparked the movement. And then after that, then I found like Ido Portel type of stuff, but also you're just moving in all these different angles and just experimenting things. Yeah, so they just started sparking different stuff, and now I'm taking all of their things and then just playing around with it and then see where else, what else this body can do, you know.
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's the best way to really not only learn and teach people, but just learn more about yourself, you know, just exploring all these different systems. You know, for me, like I did martial arts, like as a kid, I was never like, I wish I continued to do it. You know, I kind of took a couple classes here and there, like as I got older, but
yeah,
you know, the more I try more things, you know, I realized that they have so much overlap, you know, even like skateboarding, you know, I realized like, oh man, you know, it really, when you break it down, it's like, All right, you're stabilizing through your arch, and then you're, you know, you're doing a hinge on one leg, and then, you know, you're pushing off the other leg. That's just my nerdiness, you know, kind of breaking it down. But, you know, if these people, like, if you took like a pro skateboarder and put them through like, you know, biomechanical analysis, like you'd find like, you know, certain things that are elite as opposed to someone that's starting out. So that's really interesting. And I think just like you said, everything has a carryover, but, I want to talk about a little bit of the like specific methods. So you mentioned animal flow. And that's one I haven't actually taken a class yet. But I love, you know, I've been doing some of the movements. Every time I make a client, you know, do some of these things, they're like, what the heck? Like, what are we doing? But it's actually, you know, really hard. But the first time I saw someone do animal flow, I was like, oh man, it's just another fad. But it's really, you know, like you said, based on ground-based movement, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks. You know, you have all these like, you know, ipsilateral movements, you're stabilizing on one arm and kicking your leg out and doing all these things. Like, if you guys haven't watched it, you know, just go search up a video. It look weird, but it's you know, it's an amazing workout. It really explores your like movement efficiency. But so animal flow, that's something that I want to, you know, incorporate more of. NKT, you mentioned. You had a stick mobility course at your gym recently. I guess talk a little bit about like why are these so great? Like, why are they so unknown? And what would you recommend people, like, you know, look into these?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like this is where the trend in fitness is actually slowly starting to go to. It's not that, oh yeah, once you take animal flow, this is the only thing that you need to do. It's that if you look at animal flow, neurokinetic therapy, so neurokinetic therapy is a more therapeutic side to help diagnose overcompensating versus underworking muscles. Animal flow and stick mobility is literally just movement stuff that you can typically use either as a warm-up, a full workout, or implement into a workout that you currently do to basically counteract the repetitive strain that you're putting into your body. And that's what we typically miss in traditional workouts, when we're just doing push and pull workouts and stuff like that, where everything is sagittal, moving forward and back, maybe side to side in the frontal plane, but we don't do that much rotational stuff. So using animal flow and original strength systems and stick mobility is to literally just dig into the parts of the bodies that we are typically not utilizing as much, or at least the functional lines that we're not utilizing. And for everyday functionality, like when we're picking down something, we should be able to bend our back. A lot of times we think you can only stay neutral when you're picking stuff up. I'm like, no, you should be able to do that. But the problem is, if this is the only way you know how to move, as in arching your back and rounding it, and you're picking up really, really heavy stuff, over time, obviously things will get worse. But if you don't know how to find neutral in the first place, the fundamentals apply. So notice, like animal flow, you're twisting, you're turning, you're pulling, you're moving your body in all directions that is usually not accustomed to, simply because we've never done it before. But once you start teaching your body to be more resilient in all of these angles, then the chance of you getting injured in those angles is going to be a lot less. So when an emergency situation comes, or you're picking up something in a suboptimal position, your body can still handle it, so you don't actually get injured. That's what I love about animal flow. And secondly, it's not the movements itself. It's actually how Mike Fitch, the founder, structured the movements in a beautiful language that you can literally just say, all right, let's go from a beast to a side kick through, and every single person will pretty much do the same thing. And it's that powerful because he simplified it into, I think it's about 12, 15 fundamental movements, and you learn those very well. And when you make it a flow, it's basically sequencing one movement to connect to the next. And that's what makes it like this dance thing. And it just looks and feels so cool, especially when you try it. Plus, it's a sexy thing. And that's what grabs people. You know, like, unfortunately, sex sells. You know, that's the world that we live in. And all these functional stuff, a lot of it is just very boring. You're just stuck in this half-kneeling position and you're doing a wood chop. I'm like, dude, that looks so lame. So it's not as sexy in the fitness industry as when you're doing a crazy Olympic lift or crazy hill sprints or something where people are like engaged in it. Whereas animal flow, you're kind of bridging the gap between the two. So, but it's only been around for like 8-10 years, maybe even less. So it's still very, very new. Stick mobility came out 3 years ago. you know, like, and it was just three guys that were playing around with different sticks, and they took different workshops on like martial arts and things, and they're like, oh wait, like, oh, I think it's yoga therapy that they use sticks to do mobility stuff. And then they started taking concepts from that, from all the other workshops that they've taken, and like, you know what, I think we can create something. So it's not the sticks, it's literally a PVC pipe with rubber endings. Like, it's pretty simple, that bends, but it's a system that they implemented behind it that the applications become limitless. And that's why I love learning different techniques. It's not the tool that you have, it's how you use it. And it's, yeah, the geniusness of how each one of these founders created something really, really cool from something so simple. And it's nothing new, if that makes sense. Like, Mike Fitch is humble enough to be like, you know what, I've taken a lot of this stuff from Krav Maga, from dancing, from yoga, from, you know, martial arts, like, and he combined it and made it a language to animal flow. I mean, if you take martial arts, it's like 10 years to become a master or something like that. But then animal flow, you can learn the entire system in one weekend, and then it's up to you to practice and, you know, make it what it is. And that's what I love about it, is that it's simple. And I feel like that's what we're typically missing these days, is that there's so much complication in the web that we don't know how to simplify stuff. And if we don't know the simplicity and the fundamentals of things, we're never going to truly progress to our potential, or we're always going to get injured or sidetracked as we go through. It's just because we're spreading ourselves too thin and we don't know what's right or what's wrong, right? So, yeah, that's what I love about all of these systems. You know, they just created something from such a big spectrum and they made it to something very easily tangible.
Man, that was... You touched on so many great points there. I have like a bunch of thoughts, you know, spinning in my head with that.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on first a little bit about, you mentioned about what's sexy and what isn't in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that I really like about, you know, your mentality, your mindset is that, you know, what your training is based on isn't necessarily, hey, this is a cool exercise that, you know, everyone should do. You know, you post a lot of really unique and creative content that can help in different applications. But, you know, a lot of people either they'll take their shirt off and, you know, all right, this is how you get six pack abs. And, you know, I've definitely done that as well. You know, it just catches the eye, right? You know, it's just drawing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what kind of made you stay away from that? Like, what's your motivation to, because you know, you're a prehab movement specialist.
Yeah.
Right. And it's easy to get into more of like, okay, this other exercise is going to get you these other results. But, you know, you focus on preventing that injury. Because again, you know, you and I, you know, we've sought after performance, right? And we've gotten injured. So, you know, if you're like me, you know, I want to prevent people from getting injured. A lot of people I work with, you know, they have these movement patterns that they've been doing over and over and over again. And, you know, a lot of people are motivated by, you know, wanting to look good, which is great. But yeah. I think that's kind of an after effect of moving well. Like, what are your thoughts around like moving well first and then seeking results after that?
Well, I 100% believe that if you move well, the results will naturally follow. Right. So, and that's why I ended up choosing the rehab-ish realm. It's just helping people get out of pain, because that is a lot easier, in my opinion, than getting someone to be shredded and have six-pack abs. You know, like when I was training at 24 Fitness and Equinox, like 90% of my clients just want to lose weight and look good and stuff. But I realized while I'm getting into these goals, those injuries kept coming up. And I kept sending them to different physical therapists and all of that stuff. And the results were very minimal for, like, unfortunately. And I was like, hold on a second, what is wrong with just pure traditional physical therapy when you go into a place and they just give you exercises here and there? And I was just like, you know what, like, a lot of my clients coming back and they don't feel any different. or worse. And I was like, hold on a second, surely that should make you feel better. But then as just a normal trainer that, you know, I'm not a PT or a chiro, and I don't, you know, this their careers and stuff. It's just, I don't believe in traditional physical therapy where you just go in and you're in the station and everybody kind of has the same exercise. Like, oh, if you have a shoulder issue, these are the 5 exercises you need to do. I'm like, no, we need to customize all of that stuff. So that's slowly why I actually started deviating from just the sexy side. I started with that too. You know, that's why I started lifting and everything. But one of my main defining factors, and I remember this to the day, is actually when I was supporting a lot of my bodybuilding friends back in the day, and I was actually preparing for a competition as well. And that moment I walked into the bodybuilding stage and the whole area, and I just saw all the people walking in. Everybody is just like looking at each other and like, oh, this is, you know, how I'm looking and stuff. And they're judging based on, you know, how much, you know, symmetry they have, how much muscles are showing, or, you know, not showing enough. If they didn't cut enough, or they ate badly that day, or, you know, they timed it wrong. And they're just nitpicking on all these tiny things. But I just felt like, me personally, it's a very unhealthy mentality that, one, you're in this community that those are the only people that you can associate yourself with, because you lose your social life, you sacrifice pretty much everything just to look so good for that one day. And I'm like, that's not maintainable. They know it's really, really unhealthy for their bodies as well. And they feel like crap when they're on this stage, whereas technically they're looking their best. And for me, like, looking good and feeling good has to come hand in hand. If that doesn't come together, then I feel like something's missing. And I also, when I was like that, like, I could not speak to normal human beings. Like, going out for a drink or, you know, getting like fried chicken and stuff was like, no, 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 you can't eat any of that stuff because that stuff's gonna kill you. Whereas the movements and eating so healthy was killing me inside as well. So once you started finding, like, seeing that as a big picture, I was like, you know what, something's missing from the bodybuilding thing. It's not the workouts, all of that's totally fine. It's the mentality that you attach to it, and it kind of, you end up defining who you are based on how you look. And that's something that I tried to avoid for a long time, ever since that day. And that's what sparked me to be like, you know what, like, weight loss and all that stuff, not my goal anymore. Because even if you want to lose weight and you look good and feel good, if you're hurting, none of it's going to matter, because you end up sacrificing how you feel to how you look. And I was like, okay, let's do this whole rehab thing. So now I'm trying to make movement more sexy, if that makes sense. So almost 95-98% of my posts, I'm always wearing a shirt, unless it's really, really hot or I'm outside or something. Obviously, I don't want to sunbathe. But I haven't lost that much muscle density. Like, I was a lot leaner before, but now I'm like, you know what, I'm not as lean, but I feel good and I can do stuff way more than I could before. And that's the stuff that I'm trying to promote and make more sexy these days, so that it's going to spark more people to be like, you know what, like, there's an alternative route to looking good and feeling good at the same time. So yeah, I felt like I went on a tangent over there, but
no, that's great. That's great.
I hope that answered the question of, you know what, like, yeah, sexy is, it's honestly on how you feel, you know. Like, the biggest I was, like, when I was super buff and still pretty lean and stuff, like, you know, it didn't really matter. It's like, the men, the people who are attractive are actually men, you know. Like, it was just like, oh, bro, you look tough. The women don't care. And when I started realizing that, it's like, you know what, like, it really doesn't matter on how you look. It's like how confident you are based on how you look. So I'm smaller now, but I'm like, dude, I can still walk around shirtless if I wanted. But when I was actually that big, I was always like, you know what, I still don't want to take off my shirt for some reason. And that's also another thing that I feel like we all need to think about sometimes. It's like, hey, is this true confidence, or is it masking something?
Yeah, that's so interesting. That's such a good point. I think it's really a paradox, you know, I found with developing my body. Mm-hmm. You know, I've also competed. It wasn't bodybuilding, but I did a physique competition once.
Yeah.
And I did it more so, I mean, that was kind of, I was still really into, you know, bodybuilding. Kai Green was a big influence on me.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I met him recently. It was super awesome. And I still follow him. I don't really follow other bodybuilders, but I like him just because of his mindset. You know, he's just really driven. He's, you know, about getting over adversity. I think that could apply to anything, not only bodybuilding. But when I did that bodybuilding competition or physique competition, you know, after that, I had the same, that same realization. You know, I walked in and I was like, oh my God, like everyone's just, you know, they got their tans going. Everyone's just like checking each other out. Like it was not very, like a very warm environment. I met a couple guys there who were also new to it. So, you know, we kind of bonded a little bit, but everyone else, you know, just there, like, you know, didn't care about anyone else. You go up on stage and everything, it's so subjective. Like, you know, I think it's great to push yourself, and that's why I did it. I just wanted to push myself and see, like, you know, how lean can I get? How much muscle can I build? And I wanted to just push myself to see if I could do it. And that's a big, you know, motivation for me. Like, you know, I just did a Spartan race. Again, I'm not big into running, but, you know, I just want to see if I could do it. But back to the paradox, you know, when I was skinny and, you know, for most males, I would say a big motivation is like, man, I want to get buff. I want a big chest, big back, big biceps, right? And I have a lot of kids that always ask me, like, oh, man, how do I get big? How do I do this, do that? Yeah. And the funny thing is that, like, once you accomplish that, like, now I'm at a certain size where, you know, I've actually been in better shape, quote unquote, than I used to be, or than I am now. But to me, it's more of like, you know, how do I feel, you know, like, I don't really care about, you know, how big my biceps are if I'm getting out of bed in the morning and my back hurts, you know, or what is my back squat looking like if my knees are just in pain all the time? If I'm, you know, and you get into the cycle of like, you know, is it really worth it? Like you're just walking around and you're just sore all the time, you know, and it's not necessarily like muscle soreness. Like the more you exercise, you know, your body adapts to that. But for me, it's like, my shoulders achy, you know, I can't raise it above my head. My elbow cracks every time I bend it, you know, my knees, my ankles, like everything. And we get like, we just become accustomed to it. Totally. So the paradox is once you get to a certain back squat, a certain body size, a certain body fat percentage, you know, you still want more, right? You're never really satisfied. And at the same time, you know, now I'm at the point where it's like, that doesn't really matter to me. I want movement efficiency. I want health. Like, what is my nutrition like? What is my sleep like? Those are the things I'm really interested in improving. So for everyone listening, you know, I think it's great to push yourself and, you know, go after these different goals. You know, I think it's important to be at a healthy body weight, to have a healthy nutrition, to, you know, push yourself. You know, I'm a big advocate of lifting heavy, but it's only after you're moving correctly. So I don't know. I mean, I'm also going off on a tangent, but I think that's, you know, that speaks to what you said about, you know, what is sexy and what isn't. You know, if you open up your Instagram feed, you know, it's how to get a six pack. Oh, you know, eat this to lose fat, you know, or do this exercise to boost your vertical jump, like whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it's great to go after those again, but I think we need to, you know, kind of be a little bit open-minded and like have that mindset shift where it's like, okay, I want to accomplish this, but there's also this other aspect, you know, having that holistic kind of mindset where it's not just focused on one thing, you know? So I think it's important to kind of, I mean, what are your like kind of pillars? Like for me, it's nutrition, you know, mindset and movement, you know, and those are kind of, you know, when one is out of balance, you know, I know that I might be focusing on one too much and that's going to, you know, that might be good in the short term, but like you said, you know, you can only sustain it for so long. Yep. So are there certain things that hold you accountable to like, all right, I need to get back on track?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, honestly, I base everything on how I feel. So, yeah, because of the pummeling I did to my body and like what you mentioned before, being able to push your body and all that stuff, I 100% agree. Like, we're built with this awesome vessel. We're born with it, you know? I'm like, so my main thing is, hey, what can I actually do with this body and keep pushing it, but also make sure that my joints aren't disintegrating at that, you know, at a faster rate, because I'm not pushing it to the limit. I'm just pushing it a good amount. So truly asking yourself, like, how much are you able to push yourself without getting injured? And another question is, why do you actually want to do that stuff? Why do you want to lose that weight or step on stage and do the bodybuilding thing? Or why does picking up 500 pounds when you're powerlifting matter? You know, like, if you have that question answered very, very well, and you know your true calling of why you're actually doing these things, then absolutely go for it. You know, like, I know a lot of pro athletes are like, dude, this is just who I am, this is what I do, and I can, you know, I'm gonna sacrifice whatever I can in order to get into the MLB or the PGA or something. I'm like, perfect, that is a very, very strong vision, and I'm like, as long as you are on board with that and you know the consequences, for sure go for it, and I'll train you as much as I can to get to that level. But also, let's do these extra things here and there so that we can counteract the repetitive strain you're putting into your body, so that we can potentially give you a longer career or move more, or when you retire, you're not gonna feel like crap. You know, so those are the things that I always try to have that conversation with my clients, is be like, hey, is this truly something you want to do? So the other thing that you mentioned, one of my pillars is, one of mine is play. Like, everything has to be fun. It's got to be joyful. Even running this gym, I tell my clients all the time, like, if this ever becomes like work and it feels like work to me, I'm going to shut this down, because it's not part of my philosophy to do something that stresses me out or adds unnecessary stress for no reason at all. You know, like, and this part is my playground. It's my gym. All my clients are my babies. I love them to bits, and I choose my clients very well, or I branded myself that the right people come to find me, so that I don't have to train people that I really don't enjoy working with, or are just like energy vampires and stuff. So that is one of my main pillars, is play. Second is balance. Like I mentioned just now, is that I do everything based on how I feel. So I stop lifting heavy for like 45 minutes or something. There's no strict routine anymore in my personal workouts. Is, you know what? I step into the gym, I'm looking at my equipment, it's like, what do I want to do? So I'm like hanging around the monkey bars, I swing a couple of kettlebells, I go to the deadlift platform, lift like two reps of like 225. I'm like, oh, cool, everything feels pretty good. Let's see what else I can do. Then I roll around, do some flows, and then come back and do that. Now I'm dabbling into playing around with golf, rock climbing. Like, I just love movement in general. Like, I love all sports, and just looking at the mechanics behind those, I'm like, ooh, what are they doing in that one little thing that that's just so cool? Like, I want to try that out. And then I practice it until I kind of get it, but I'm not practicing until I can play at a pro level. You know, so for me, it's more of dabbling, being a master, you know, a dabbler of all trades, but a master of none, better than a master of one. That's like one of my favorite quotes, you know. So I just like to play. And secondly, if something doesn't feel right, and my energy levels are depleting, or I wake up, I'm like, oh man, I feel like shit. Like, what is going on? Then I'd be like, you know what? Crap for the last 2.5 weeks. I should probably clean that up. So, and within 1 or 2 days, as soon as I eat healthily, then my body fat drops, I feel leaner, and my energy levels increase, I sleep better. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's the main thing that was missing. So, being intuitive. So, play, doing what my body feels like doing, and then just experimenting things. Those are my three pillars. But the fundamentals apply to all of that stuff. So that's what I teach, is these three things, but also like, hey, if you've never done a squat before, let's teach you how to do a squat before we do some animal flow stuff or start lifting weights or anything like that. So those are the main things that I truly believe in. It's like, set your fundamentals right, then unlock the potential to do whatever that is you want to do, if you actually want to do it.
Right on, man. Those are awesome pillars. You know, innately, I have the same ones, like, and I think everyone should kind of, you know, pick some of those and, you know, just really let them like simmer and, you know, just really think about them, like play. I think that's something that, you know, you can word it differently, but.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think for most people, they don't play, and that really prevents them from reaching the goals that they want. And so for me, what play means is just having a goal, doing something that you love doing, you know, like you said, if it stresses you out to do it, it's probably not sustainable, you know? So for a lot of people out there who were, you know, wanting to lose weight or wanting to, you know, get on, you know, their D1 pro, you know, sports team, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. If it's stressing you out so much that, you know, you don't even like going into the gym, you don't like doing those sessions, like how sustainable is that really? So, you know, I always, you know, advocate for my clients who, you know, whatever goal they have, I always tell them to set additional goals, like do something that you like doing along the way, because that's going to push you to continue doing it, right? If you just, you know, if you don't like counting calories, or if you don't like, you know, going to the gym, if you don't like, you know, tracking your recovery, like, it's going to be, you know, sorry to, you know, it's a rude awakening, but you're probably not going to reach that goal just because you hate doing it, you know? So I think inserting play in the form of doing something you like doing, you know, in addition to those goals, is a great way to reach, you know, other goals. And you mentioned balance, which is awesome. You know, I think, again, no matter what your goal is, I think just having a little bit of balance is, you know, a great way to achieve that goal. So you mentioned, you know, clients who want to, you know, become pro golfers. Like, that's great. Like, you know, you're going to push your body to the limits to become an elite athlete. But that doesn't mean you have to sacrifice everything else, right? You don't necessarily have to sacrifice your health to do that. Yeah. And I think just having that open mindset will allow you to do that. You know,
yeah.
I recently watched Thor Bjornsson, you know, the mountain from Game of Thrones. He deadlifted.
Yeah, that Thor Johnson.
Insane. Yeah. He deadlifted like 1,046 pounds or something like that. And he is, I mean, literally, he's the strongest man in the world, right? So for him, that is the elite of the elite. And, you know, he's obviously, that's extreme, like that much stress on your body. You know, he knows, you know, what potential consequences there are for that. But even then, it's not like he's just eating crap and, you know, not, you know, doing anything to recover. You know, he's also pushing everything else to the extreme, right? His nutrition is on point. His recovery is on point. You know, he's probably getting massages, you know, every day. He probably has, you know, special, like a personal chiropractor or something, you know. You know, LeBron James, you know, he spends $1 million on recovery, you know, every year, you know. So it's not, you know, for me, you know, one of my realizations, it was when I was in a senior in high school, I was like, all right, I want to become a better athlete. I need to do all these other things as well. It's not just my performance, right? It's not just, you know, my squat routine. It's all right, my nutrition. It's, you know, how can I recover? So I think those things are things that are lost or overlooked. And, you know, I think if you want top performance, you need to optimize all those things. Obviously, you know, if you're an elite athlete, you are going to sacrifice a little bit, but for most of us, you know, we're not elite athletes. So it's important to have that balance to, you know, mitigate that stress. And that last point you had, self-awareness, you know, or having that, you know, being in touch with, you know, what you're doing. I think it's, you know, super important. Like, are you happy with where you are? And, you know, finding out your why, like, why am I doing this? Why am I, you know, trying to achieve this goal? You know, is it because everyone else is doing it, or you have this preconceived notion that you need to look a certain way? Like, I think, you know, finding your why, you know, all these different aspects of training and of just life in general, you know, just help you live a better life. So, yeah. I mean, great points, man. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Anything you got?
For sure, yeah. One thing you mentioned about the balance side, right? So if you think about almost all the workout programs that we have out these days are based on pro athletes. Even the stuff we learn in kinesiology and training, personal training, the certifications that we take and stuff, all of it is based on, you know, like all the programs are based on pro athletes, you know, like rest, you know, 30 seconds for endurance, rest 60 to 90 seconds for hypertrophy and all of that type of stuff. This is designed for people who have already been training for a very, very long time. But for average population who just wants to feel realistically good and move around a little bit and drop a couple pounds, you don't have to train at the pro athlete level. So we, as coaches, I feel like we need to spread this message. It's like, hey, you literally don't have to keep pulling yourself every single session in order to get to the results that you want, especially if your results are nowhere close to being full on shredded with every single vein popping out and stuff like that. If you just want to be overall fit, it takes a lot, much less than you think. And that's something that I really want to be able to coach people and tell them is like, you know what, like, as long as you're doing a little bit of all of this stuff, that's where the balance part comes in. It's not about doing more of what you think you need to do, as in like exercise is going to help you lose weight. No, it's also about, hey, you know, if you're exercising so much already and you're still not losing weight or gaining the muscle that you want, you probably imbalance somewhere else where the nutrition or the mindset stuff or the, you know, the de-stressing part of the things that we need to bring all that stuff together. So it's not like a lot of times people think like, oh, I'm so stressed, I need to find balance. And they're just like, I just need to do things that help me de-stress. I'm like, no, you just need to do more of the stuff that naturally helps you de-stress, if that makes sense. So you can't say, stop being stressed and just, you know, don't do anything. It's, you know what, like, or like when people are so stressed out at work, they think, oh, just not going to work is going to help them de-stress. I'm like, no, you still need to go to work. We have, you know, bills to pay. We have, you know, mouths to feed and everything. Is, you know what, while you're so stressed out at work, what can you add onto your life that's going to naturally help you de-stress? As in maybe every 20 minutes, do some type of mindful meditation stuff, even if it's just for a minute, or literally just stop by your table, stop all work, and just breathe for like 30 seconds and see how that actually tones down your nervous system so that you can handle more stress at work. Like with the workouts over here, we push the body, you know, quite a lot, but we're not pushing at 100%. But before we even amp it up, we need to tone it back down. And that's where the resets and activations start coming in, where one, you're working on breathing mechanics, you're just teaching your body, oh, this is how I feel. It's like checking inventory. It's like, how are my joints feeling today? How am I able to breathe? How stressed am I actually when I walked into the gym? Let's do some stuff that we can tone down the stressors. Then we can amp it back up physically with the workouts and stuff. But after the workout, also do something to be able to tone it back down. So it's adding more of the stuff that's naturally going to help instead of thinking that you need to do less in order to get more balance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great point because, you know, we live in a society that's very driven by like instant results, right? If my knee is hurting, my back is hurting, I'm going to take an Advil to reduce the pain, right? And I'm going to stop working out. I'm going to take an Advil. All right, I'm good to go. But we don't really think about like, okay, what's the underlying cause of this pain? You know, what it's going to take me out of the pain. You know, people just want to push. Right? Want to push. Yep. Oh, my knee's hurting. It's cool. I got to get this squat, you know. Yep. Whatever it may be, you know, it's really hard. You know, I work with high school athletes and they are the most stingy, right? Because they just want to keep pushing, right? They want to impress you. They want to impress their friends. They have this mentality where it's like, I can't stop, right? So it's really, I think something that we need to work on a lot is just that self-awareness again of like, okay, what is my physical state and emotional state and mental state right now? What can I do to increase the capacity to handle the stress, right? And that's a little bit kind of a deep answer, I guess. But, you know, what are things that I can do, like you said, to mitigate that stress so that I can handle more stress, I guess is a more simple way to put it. So yoga, is that going to, you know, help me? Meditation, you know, maybe I need a massage. Maybe I need to just talk to someone, right? Instead of, oh, man, I'm stressed out. All right, I'm like you said, I'm not going to go to work. Obviously, we need to go to work. Or, man, my foot is hurting. Okay, I'm just not going to run. Well, you know, if you have a goal to run, if you like running, obviously that's, you know, not running can also put more stress on you, right? Because you want to do it. So it's more of like, okay, I need to deal with it. Like, okay, why is my foot hurting? Okay, I need to, you know, address this pain so that I can continue to run. Not necessarily push through the pain, but just, again, address that. So for people, at home, like, what would you say, what are some good, like, tools that you use, like, with your clients? Like, obviously, you know, there's a ton of different evaluation tools, but mm-hmm. what's, like, a self-evaluation kind of tip or tactic that you would give people, like, I have back pain, or I have, you know, hip pain or shoulder pain. Are there any, like, go-to methods that you use to kind of undo some of that pain?
Yeah. So the biggest go-to system that's probably the easiest to implement that I've seen to this day, like I mentioned many times, is the original strength system. So it's very, very basic movements. And because it's so basic and we've done it when we're babies, literally you're rolling on the ground, you're crawling. It sounds really stupid when you say it, but this is the stuff that we are missing as we age. Like spinal rotation in every single articulation is one of the things that we miss. So one of the first things that we lose as we start aging, because we literally just forget how to actually rotate from each part of our vertebra. And you only start rotating and bending from one, which is typically L5-S1. Which is why virtually everybody, you know, 70% of the population has some sort of L5-S1 degeneration. I have it too since I was 13 years old. You know, it doesn't mean that, hey, because there's something wrong with the structure in your tissue that you should be hurting. You know, like that is one of the biggest conversations to have, is that a lot of the times we have no structural damage. It's just tight, achy muscles or something like that that's causing pain. And most of it is just due to lack of movement or lack of awareness in the movement. And then the more stress you have on your body, it just amplifies that tenfold. So we're hurting because we actually, there is this type of stress that we don't even know we have. A lot of times it's hidden in the subconscious. So if you read this book called The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John Sarno, it opens it up so much. And like we're stumped in rehab these days. It's like there's so many research that they took over 300 patients that took MRIs on their back. Every single patient had no history of back pain. 70% of them have L5-S1 degeneration. 40% of them have bulging or herniated disc. And 20% of those have like full-on spondylolisthesis where the vertebra is actually shifted off, but none of them experience pain. So I'm like, what is actually going on here? You know, like we'd think that, oh my God, if you have a bulging disc or, you know, spondylolisthesis, you need surgery or something like that, but they've never experienced any pain and they're still able to function fully. Whereas we get people who have perfectly aligned spines and everything's great, but we're hurting all over. And then we have fibromyalgia or all these weird things that's going on, and we can never figure out what is truly causing it. And a lot of times it's just coming from here. So that book really opened up my perspective on, you know what, a lot of the stuff that we have pain with is simply we're just not trusting our bodies, and stress is amplifying all of that. So as coaches, as trainers, we can have the same conversation with our clients, but also teach them the fundamental movement. So just very, very simple self-testing, like the biofeedback, just test your overall flexibility, like bending down, touching your toes. Oh my God, like how's my back feeling over there? Or do I feel it only in my hamstrings, or do you feel it in my calves, or is my neck pulling when I'm doing this, you know, stretch down to the toes? And based on that, you can literally just do any movement that you feel like a core exercise, or you can do some type of the resets, and you retest the biofeedback to see if it gets better. If it gets better, your body's literally telling you, hey, this is actually a good exercise for me. So your nervous system says, you're good. So I'm going to unlock a little bit of pain and give you more mobility so you can do more of that. And if you do something that actually threatens your body, then you'll feel like the flexibility actually decreases and your body will recoil. Then it's like, huh, nervous system saying, this is probably not something you can do very, very well, so don't do that yet. Doesn't mean ever. Just keep working on the other stuff that's going to help you rebalance your body, and then redo this one to see if it actually gets better. So that is one of the biggest approaches I teach a lot of my clients, is just for them to self-test like their baseline mobility, do a movement, and then retest it to see if it gets better. So it's huge. And the more you train that, the faster you start knowing what actually makes your body feel good and what doesn't. And that intuition is priceless because you're pretty much the only person that can fix yourself. Everybody else is just a guideline, and we can fill in the gaps of what you might be missing, but it's up to you to do all the work and, you know, work on that so that things will naturally start getting better. And if you're always looking for other people to help you instead of, you know what, you can truly help yourself if you take the time to do that, then that's where true progress happens.
That's awesome. So basically, just to recap, take a movement. Let's say your back hurts. What kind of movements would you recommend, like a back bend or just kind of replicating the movement that would hurt? Or is it more
a bit of movement? Okay. A simple one is actually, it doesn't even have to be something that hurts. Like for me, it's literally just a standing toe touch test. So you're just here and you just go down, and instead of actually stretching as far low as you can, it's actually going to your first line of resistance. So if you're like, oh, I'm bending down, oh, right around here, when my hands are close to my knees, I feel something pulling. That's the first sign that your nervous system is actually saying no. As soon as it's saying no, if you keep pushing past that, a lot of times that's where injuries and stuff start happening, you know? Just like if you tweak your back or something and you're doing movement, your body's like, oh God, that hurts. Like naturally you don't want to move there. So the main thing is if you can actually breathe through it and slowly start teaching your body, oh my God, it's actually okay to bend in that movement. Then your body starts trusting it and just starts unlocking more mobility so that you can start doing that movement again. Whereas the biofeedback test is just a very, very fast test that you can do. So like I said before, you can use this for everything actually. So just doing a standing toe touch, you can do a pull up and retest it. And a lot of times if your body likes to pull up, it will allow you to do more. If it doesn't, you will actually recoil and do less. So any movement can be applied to it. But to answer your question, if there's something specific that hurts, you're like, oh, doing the side bend or arching my back, that hurts, use that as your baseline test. Do a movement and then retest it to see if it gets better. We intuitively do this, like after a massage or something like that. We're like, oh, my neck feels so loose, or like my back feels great. But then what happens 20 minutes later? If everything times back up, we know it's not holding. So does that mean we need another massage 20 minutes later? I'm like, no, it just probably means that the massage released stuff that our body wasn't ready to be released yet. So it's naturally pulling back in order to protect your body from further harm. So that's another interesting concept, is that muscles only tighten because your body is under threat and is protecting yourself. So if I'm about to punch you in the face, naturally, like, we recoil. We're like, oh, no, don't punch me. Like, everything tightens up in order to protect you. And if you're if I'm still punching you and I'm telling you, hey, open up your hand, I'm still going to be hitting you in the face, you're going to hate me for it, because you're like, no, like naturally we want to protect ourselves. So a lot of the times when we're foam rolling or stretching and we're stretching a wrong muscle that doesn't want to be stretched, the body's like, I don't want that. So it recoils and it pulls back immediately or after 20 minutes to be like, you know what, that was actually something that I did not want to be stretched. So finding stability trumps flexibility time and time again. So if you, a lot of the times you don't even need to stretch, you just do a movement that stabilizes, like a core activation thing, or even just breathing mechanics, and all of a sudden you get more flexibility because your nervous system is like, oh cool, I don't have to work so hard anymore, I don't have to protect anything because I'm actually safe, it's fine. So instead of me punching you in the face, it's more like, you know what, I'm backing off, I'm not gonna punch you, everything's cool, with friends, call truce, yeah, okay, cool, now we can move closer. And that's when you can actually truly start seeing a lot of progress that holds for a much longer period of time. So yeah, that went on a tangent, but
no, that's great.
Fed into exactly what you're saying about, you know, how to self-test and how to actually check in to see if something's actually working or not, right?
Right on, yeah. So that's definitely, again, that goes back to self-awareness. Like, you know, if I'm feeling achy, you know, don't push through it, but more so, you know, test that range of motion. Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels the same as yesterday. Okay, let me try something and see if that will help. And a lot of times, you mentioned the core, you know, the core is it's right in our, you know, a lot of people think of just the six pack, but, you know, we have, you know, our internal, external obliques, our transverse abdominis, our SQL, a ton of different core muscles that we just don't see. And sometimes just activating some of those will reduce some of that pain. Yep. So that's a great point. And then another point you mentioned, which I think it's a paradigm that we need to get over, especially, you know, in PT, you know, and I've worked in physical therapy clinics for a long time. You know, I still want to go into physical therapy, but I have a slightly different mentality. And I think you share that as well. That concept of just stretching muscles, right? You know, and I'm guilty of doing this as well. You know, we have a tight muscle. We just want to stretch it. Okay, stretch this muscle. It'll get loose, right? But like you mentioned, 20 minutes later, it's tight again. Yep. So typically it's not, you know, you need to stretch it. It's more of you need to gain stability in it. Yep. So, you know, that's a big tenet of, you know, NKT, we mentioned a little bit, neurokinetic therapy, yep, where it's, you know, you have dysfunction in our body, which is caused by some other issue, right? If we have, you know, tight traps, it's not that we need to stretch them. It's that, you know, maybe they're overworking, maybe they're underworking, so that reflexively they get tight. Mm-hmm. You know, the analogy I like to use is, you know, if you had a dog that's sleeping, you know, and you poke it, you know, it might wake up. So sometimes we need to just, you know, activate those muscles to make sure they're working. Mm-hmm. But if it's an angry dog, we would not want to poke it, right? Because that would just make it more angry. So it's similar. It's a similar concept, right? If we have a tight muscle and we try to stretch it, sometimes it'll loosen up for a little bit and it'll go back tight. Sometimes it'll just get worse. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of like, okay, we need to keep stretching. It's more of why is this muscle tight in the first place? And, you know, that's kind of the puzzle. That's kind of where the art comes in and the science comes in. It's, okay, what other muscles are affecting it? You know, you have synergists, you have agonists, antagonists, you know, just basically everything in your body is connected, you know, up and down the chain, front and back. So that's kind of where we need to come in and address those issues. But again, for people at home, you know, if you have a tight muscle, if you have pain, usually it's not because of that specific location. It's up or down, front and back, side to side, you know, something else is affecting it. So, as Andy mentioned, it, you know, try, you know, I like that self-retest or biofeedback test is what you called it.
Yeah.
So just testing emotion, again, having the self-awareness to not push into the pain necessarily. But, you know, once you find that block, you know, typically, you know, we know our own bodies better than anyone else. So find that kind of that sticking point prior to the pain. Do a movement. Sometimes like a core activation can help, whether that be, you know, a dead bug or, you know, pressing into the ball, or a plank or, you know, whatever it may be. And then retesting that to see if that helps. So, you know, this whole thing is a journey. Again, don't look for that quick fix, but it's more of like finding the puzzle piece that will help.
Yeah, and, you know, totally.
Yeah, man.
That's what it's all about, you know, self-experimentation. Like I said before, it's like you're the only person who can figure yourself out. Everybody else is just a guide. So if people give you a guide that's not working, find another guide, right? but it's up to you to do that test to figure out, hey, this is actually something that is working. Keep doing it. And if you keep doing it, a lot of times, I personally believe that if you're out of pain, like getting out of pain is actually should be very, very quick. Like for me, if they come into my sessions, if I can get them at least 50 to 60% better out of pain within the first two sessions, it's ineffective. And I outsource to someone else that might look at a bigger picture. For me, it's more neurological and musculoskeletal. That's my baby. That's what I'm very, very good at. Rebalancing muscles, having that conversation with muscles to the brain to connect. And if it doesn't connect, I'll connect it. And if that doesn't get you out of pain, that's not part of the hierarchy. A lot of times there's deeper stuff going on. Whatever's happened to your gut, if you have an unhealthy functioning gut, it can cause muscle imbalances all over your body. A lot of times if your lymphatic system is inflamed, like everything's going to be hurting chronically, and you have brain fog, you lack focus, you'll be even more stressed, and that just makes everything else worse. So other times it's just that you're under that much stress that your body literally cannot let go, and I can't help with that. You probably need it, you know, sometimes people need psychological coaching and stuff like that. So that's where I outsource to different places, for like either the naturopath, you can do acupuncture, you can go to a general doctor, you might need surgery, whatever it is. A lot of times that comes before movement. So if you're so like, that's the people that usually come see me. Sometimes they're just so far gone that just pure movement won't be able to fix it. I'm like, we can't help there. So sticking to our scope of practice is really important, but also having the right connections with the people that you can send them to when they actually need the help. And for us as coaches, having the intuition to know, hey, I think this is the person you need to go and see, and that's the most important. Instead of blindly guessing them, throwing them everywhere and letting them figure it out. A lot of times, as for us to do the initial assessment, we can see a lot more than what typical doctors can, because we have hours and weeks, you know, months or years with a client, and we see them consistently versus going to the doctor, they might see them once a year, if that, you know, so for like a few minutes. And that's a difference. Like, we know their lives, we know who they are as people, we know their entire lifestyle, their families and stuff, so that we might be able to send them to someone else that can help based on all the connection, all the things that we know about our specific client. So that was off a tangent, but it's also really important to look at the big picture. And once you can see the big picture, it's easy to hone in on what you need to hone into. But most of the times we're starting from that small little detail, and then you don't even know where you're going. So the big picture is not there. So we're kind of just lost and just literally just trying to figure stuff out from here versus actually looking from the outside and then honing in on what you think you need the most.
Right on, man. That's an awesome note to leave off on. And before you go, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but, you know, I appreciate you for being on. I do have one more question for you.
Yep.
And that is, you know, if you could give yourself advice when you were just starting out, or for someone else that's just starting out on their, you know, fitness journey, movement journey, what would you recommend?
Honestly, I wouldn't have gone to where I am without going through all the other crap. So my advice is honestly just keep building the curiosity, be very, very curious, and keep playing around with that as you go. Because if you lose sight of that, you lose sight of everything. Because if things aren't fun, like, there's really not much point doing it. That's my opinion. Like, I personally just like to have fun and live life with experiences. So if you're starting out with fitness, build the intuition and make sure you are able to play along with that as well.
Awesome, man. Thank you. This is succinct and, you know, very great advice. Where can people find you physically? Are you on social media?
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Well, it's just Movement Reborn, everything. So Instagram is Movement Reborn. Facebook is also Movement Reborn. I have a YouTube channel as well. Even my website, movementreborn.com. I have a whole bunch of videos, even the biofeedback test that I mentioned in this video. That's all on there. I personally just love to share information. Like, there's nothing new. I'm just regurgitating everything else I've learned. I'm trying to put all of that on the website. So my main belief is information's free. The structural information is what costs, because that's what we took time to build with over time.
Yeah, man, for sure. Thank you so much. And again, Andy is found in San Diego, so he has a physical location if you're around. Check him out. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you so much, buddy. It was awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you soon. I know you have a bunch of workshops going, so I wanted to go to that stick mobility one, but I had a different workshop I went to. I was on Columbus that weekend, but hopefully another one soon.
I don't mind. It's happening on 25th and 26th of May. So,
okay.
Well, it'll be great to see you again, man.
Right on, man. Likewise. Well, we'll stay in touch and I'll see you soon.
Heck yeah, man. Take it easy. Bye.
All right. Take care.
And there you have it, folks. This one went a little bit long, but I just could not stop talking to Andy. Really thought-provoking. A lot of cool concepts we talked about. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you're down in San Diego, feel free to go check him out. Movement Reborn. Again, he does prehab, rehab, neurokinetic therapy, which I also learned. He just is a great mover, right? If you're trying to learn how to do a pull-up, to learn how to do a backflip or any other crazy things, or simply learn how to move well and be pain-free, that's the guy to go to. So check him out. And again, thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for listening. Again, if you guys enjoyed it, please share, leave a review on iTunes if you can. And next week, we got another great episode. So stay tuned and thanks.